Yes, Ulfkelly is on fire.
The Sunday Skypers.
A little annoying that Ari isn't here, so we couldn't do that bit, but...
You do have a couple of things where Ari isn't involved.
Like Ulfkel about to throw a iron hoop at a spirit. Hopefully, iron means something to spirits.
Well, you failed your vengeful spirits ghosts big wise, so you've no idea how to actually
deal with
this. Fight this thing. Anything is like.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying that, out of character knowledge, I know that iron is usually bad news for most spirits, but in character, he has no idea. He's just going through the hoop ad.
I just keep getting this dwarf with hoop scene in my head, and I know it's not right. It's like, circle of protection, iron hula hoop.
Remember, he's also on fire.
Kim ran right through the fire.
Yes. He came running back as well. So.
And Frore's got his legs back on fire again.
Yes. Things are not looking very good.
And I wish I had a bucket of water.
Not normal fire, you remember. But, of course, you did put it out earlier in the scene, so with your flask. So
that was the burning character, yeah.
Yes. You're all burning characters, I hope.
Yeah. We'll be burning new characters. No.
We might. You have no persona left. You have no persona left to spend on will to live, so if you take a mortal wound, you're dead.
Well, don't take one, duh.
Run!
I'm still gonna throw that damn ring.
But I think maybe we should go to the watery tunnel kerfuffle tentacle drowning thing that we couldn't get to last time because of time.
Oh, I thought it was because we wanted to see if we live or die. That's important too, you know.
The cramped tunnel with the water and the lichen stuff and the stuff. And Fandral had just pulled the axe bearer out of the water, right, by his collar.
Sounds about right.
I remember
those words.
Fandral and Flint had grabbed him and were hauling him out.
Yep.
Right. I'm trying to remember what we did. If you did a power test or what?
We had speed to grab him.
All right, before he went under, right, completely. Right, so now you're in a kind of tug of war with whatever creatures are in the mucky, muddy water. Frothing mucky, muddy water. Great.
Plan was that Fandralin, grabbed him by the collar with one hand and was chopping the tentacles that had a hold of him with the other.
Right. And I assume Flint. See? Didn't mistake the names there. I assume Flint is helping in
absolutely.
Some way.
That's literally helping. Not going off and making my own separate die rolls or anything like that. Just staying by the prince's side and grabbing the other collar or whatever and swinging the other axe in the other hand. Now, one of us is probably fighting offhanded, but I'm going to assume that's me since I'm helping.
All right. It sounds like an axe test to free the captured senseless axe bearer from the clutches, the vile clutches of the creature. So it would be Fandral's axe dice versus the creature, of course. But then what is your axe skill, Flint? Is it a 4?
Actually, I'm a B5 in axe.
Oh, cool. That means you give 2 dice to Fandral. So Fandral has 8.
I am his axe man.
It's more than one of these things. So I guess they're helping each other. That would follow. So I'm gonna roll 5 dice. And presently you're rolling 8, Fandral.
I feel like I could at least throw one persona at this.
Oh, is there anything you would like to fork in or something? I mean, that's totally legit if you want to do that. Intimidate, call it hurtful names.
Doesn't seem like that would work.
Your mama was an earthworm.
No, you have to save that for the dragon. So... I rolled, haha, and I got 3 successes.
And I got 2, 3, and I'll spend a fate point to roll the 6. Maybe you'll break the tie.
Well, it is, yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Haha.
And we'll do that again.
More for fun's sake, since, you know, you win. Okay, so record that as well for Axe. All right. Okay, another thing I should be better at is saying or coming up with or suggesting possible consequences for when you actually fail. So you don't just fail blindly and then I spring a bad consequence on you. Sometimes that's fun, but not always.
Good thing I didn't fail.
Indeed. So you do, in fact, chop away and, this wine-dark blood spurts out of the grappling, snaky tentacle things. And the grip relents and you get to yank the axe bearer free. And there's a violent thrashing about the water as this whatever it or they are retreats.
You'll not feed on dwarf today.
But they're so yummy.
As per the tradition of the game, anytime another dwarf gets into trouble, we have to give him a name.
Unferth. This is Brewer. I'm sorry, what?
Unferth.
Unferth. It's yes. Unferth, the unconscious.
The wet.
The wet, or the wet, yes.
He was loyal. Right there till the end.
I hope he still is loyal. But then again, Fandral did peg him in the head with his axe. So,
well, he didn't see that. It was just the damn creature. But the prince did fetch him. So,
all right.
It got in the way.
So this was a routine test. So, and since you both have exponents of 5 or more, it doesn't count for skills. So, no point recording anything. Great, you have him pulled up, and through me and a couple of others wade out to help you pull him back. He says, clearly this is a dangerous tunnel. We must have taken a wrong turn somewhere. Maybe we should consult the map, retrace our steps and consult the map again.
The goblins certainly didn't come this way unless this thing is their pet.
Can't imagine. I'm sure it would eat goblins as well. Seemed a violent, vicious thing.
Probably wouldn't have known what it was eating until it got it in its maw.
I do not think it was a discriminating gourmand. Not necessarily in character, but we're going to say it is.
Why not? I'm sure it's a word you've heard somewhere. A gourmand, by the way, is someone who eats a lot, not someone who enjoys a little, right, of the delicacies. Which is terribly appropriate for this monster. You have successfully disentangled your man, and you are out of the water.
Yay! We need to drip dry and take some advice from Frumi and look at the map. Yeah, I should listen to your scouts, but not necessarily this one.
So it looks like you may have made a slight error based on a vague description on the map, a vague tunnel that is an easy mistake. So you retrace your steps and you walk off in the new direction. And I guess we'll hop on over to Ulfkell. So, okay, fire everywhere, Mr. Brewer Dwarf.
Well, I am going to finish that throw, so yeah, I'm going to throw that ring at the damn thing.
The last thing I said, I think, was Keem was barreling toward you out of the fire. He was coming back. He was almost entirely immolated.
Oh, that's not good.
Isn't that the guy he knocked out?
Not the guy he knocked out. No, he's on the floor. One of his
legs are
burning.
Yeah.
He's burning.
Frozen on the floor, and Keem's running at me. Well, I got the ring in front of me, so I'm going to just go, before I throw, I'll just go block him and sort of push him to the floor and said, roll, you fool.
Okay. I guess that could be
a command.
Yes, it could be a command, yes. And I'd say if you succeed, obviously you're going to get him to start rolling in a panicky way, mm-hmm, all over the floor, which is, of course, covered in flame. So, you know, you'll have to help him. If you fail, however,
it runs into me. Yeah.
Yes. And then you're going to be wrestling with a burning man.
Burning dwarf. Burning dwarf.
Yes. Yes. A flaming dwarf.
Well, we always wondered about that about him, you know.
Mano a mano with a flaming dwarf.
Okay. So, and of course, it's doubled. The obstacle is doubled, and I have no persona to spend on this.
Oh, okay.
So.
It's a learning skill. I see. Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. Or fortunate, depending on what kind of tests you need. It's an ob 4, which becomes an 8.
And I only have 5 dice in that, so this is going to be interesting. And, well, I got a 6. So I'm only not even halfway there.
Well, but, exploded, you never know.
Yeah, we'll burn that fate point. So, yeah, I only got 3 out. Yeah, so it was 8 and 3, so that's... No, it'd be 4 versus 5, right? Or how do you work that out again? For the opposite.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Oh, so that goes against my against my will. So he hits me and we go ass over tea kettle.
Yeah. You attempt to coerce him into or drib to do the sensible thing, but he is just completely panicked and he barrels into you, and it's clear that he believes that you are in the way of his getting away.
At that point, you know, I'll just sidestep and let him go.
That, however, is not the consequence. The consequence is he grapples you, so you're not grappling with him.
No, I'm not. But he's going, let me go past, let me go past. I'm going, let go, you fool.
it's more, you're in the way. Ah, I'm running. There's no real rhyme or reason to his panicking.
Let's see, I have brawling 3. Well, there's one spot in every male sentient out there that's delicate, and I go for it.
That certainly sounds like brawling. Yeah, what do you want to accomplish, though?
Make him let me go. I don't think I can actually anything I can fork in on that. Nope.
Okay, so it's a simple versus brawling test, and Keim is on fire and hurting and stuff. So yeah. he's not great at this brawling thing. So I think he's only going to test with 2 dice.
Ah, I have 3 dice.
You may, in fact, get some necessary, you-know-what tests. Obviously, if you fail, you're now even worse on fire. And, yeah, you're gonna take some fire wounds.
But if they succeed, he's off crouching, holding himself.
Yeah, and then you're...
yeah.
Exactly. Bum, 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 bum. And in the meanwhile, of course, this spirit is just screaming and laughing maniacally in a mad kind of way. As the weird nog smelling flames engulf everything. Oh, right, and you heard voices from afar, right? Screaming.
Yeah.
Quite probably so, Scully and the remaining apprentice whose name I forget.
Rudy Slow Eye.
Oh, look at that. Two successes.
I rolled a 1, 2, 3.
Right, so. You attempt to do all kinds of stuff. In fact, I think you peg him twice, but he's just too mad to notice because he's burning everywhere else. So he pins you down and you know, his burning arm sears your face.
Not the face.
And you take another incidental wound. And that makes 3 incidental wounds, which...
Superficial, you mean? Superficial.
Superficial, yes. And those 3 automatically transform into a light wound.
But I still have them, though, right?
No, you erase them and they transform into a new kind of wound.
Great.
And a light wound means that, you know, you at present have 1 die less in everything.
Oh, great.
Probably burns right over the eye, and you have to squeeze it shut, and, you know, and there's this sizzling of beard and hair and stuff. And I'm going to leave you there, and let's hop on over to the old wars again. For fun's sake.
Let's see, I should probably start working on Rory as a character.
You're not that poor, bad yet. Not yet, at least. Like I said, you retrace your steps a bit. You try the new corridor you should have taken, which leads down into a kind of... Actually, you reach a place that used to be a dying quarter. So there are these big stone vats and little, like, storage caverns, I guess. And it's all wet and sloppy and full of lichen and mosses and weird such stuff and creepy crawlies. Yeah, you can see all around you in the lantern light and so forth how naked goblin feet and iron-shod boots have ripped up the lichen here and there. And there's definitely been traffic, heavy traffic, as if lots and lots of folks were fleeing this way.
Yeah, this is where the scout in me would point out the obvious, but by doing so, I'd point out the fact that I blew the first roll. It's like, see, and here's where the elephant passed through the room.
You enter this little quarter, and then you begin to hear this echoey kind of there's a kind of panting, as if someone's in a place that amplifies their voice, right? But if they don't know it, sort of like being at the bottom of a barrel or something, so it sounds that way. And it's sort of tumbling down the various passages that open up into the Dyer's Quarter. And behind the panting, there is some kind of heated debate, which sounds dwarfy. But also, there are also some gutturals, very coarse and goblin-y sounding.
Well, it's a good time to be on alert.
Mm-hmm. You want to go stealthily check that out?
We'll do, because, hey, stealthily right. Checking things out is what I do. We'll sneak ahead and see if we can find, like, dwarves. I don't want to say dying pit, but I can imagine, like, small pits that are literally carved out of the stone, and mm-hmm. whole tapestries and leathers and everything else are just thrown in there. Because, like, yeah, why waste good wood and iron on barrels and stuff like that when you have plenty of stone to make these various surface-level vats?
Exactly, yes.
So we'll be sneakily moving along, using what shadows we can, assuming there's any light at all, and see what we can do about this.
Do you go alone, or do you take someone with you?
We're going to go alone this time, because I just want to try to keep down the number of consequences.
All right. If you succeed, you get the drop on whoever you want to surprise or you know, discover. If you fail, they get the drop on you. And I'd say this is an obtuse stealthy test. No one is really expecting you. You get that feeling.
Okay. We can work with that. Obstacle 2, stealth of 4.
Before he heads off, though, we'll recheck the map to see if we can figure out how many entrances, exits there are to this little area.
3. They lead to different portions, to storages, to back out to the, at length, back to the main entrance thoroughfare, and to some living quarters, which is where Flint is headed. 2 successes, and 6. Aha, cool. You pass along past the vats, and you begin to follow the sounds, and they point sort of upward toward the living quarters, and you sneakily make your way up. You come upon a scene of 2 dwarves. One of them is clearly a scout, one of the scouts you remember, and the other is an odd-looking dwarf with some sort of they're either tattoos or some kind of
like henna,
like henna. His style of dress and looks reminds you of the young humans you met in the Golden Hall.
Hippie dwarf. Who knew?
I suppose hippie human dwarf. they're facing off with a pair of goblins, and one of the goblins has taken a wound to the gut and is sort of half prone, half crawling away in a kind of pathetic golem way, and the other is sort of spitting on his long dirk and snarling, and they appear to be having a back and forth, something about a deal that didn't go through. Lots of snarls.
Normally I would rush to assist the dwarves, but I want to hear more about this deal. So if they're going to sit there and talk and possibly Because, well, first of all, why are they having a deal?
It appears that you have entered right at the end of an exchange, of a fighting exchange that have reached a kind of stalemate. Both sides are slightly injured, but clearly the goblins have it worse. And now they've sort of devolved into shouting at each other.
So it isn't like a deal gone bad. It's like the goblins are trying to make a deal? Bargain for their lives?
There was a deal in place, but now they're sort of invoking the deal, right?
Ah.
Remember our deal! And so forth. And you're just listening.
Well, yeah. I know that that's probably extra harsh on you. Hey, have a conversation with yourself. If they say more about the deal, that's fine. If not, perhaps I will step in and bolster the dwarves' position.
Okay. So the upright goblin snarls that you should honor what we agreed, or you never get out. Serpent people will strangle you all. The henna tattoo dwarf just scoffs at him and goes, that may be what you think, but... we have all the cards here. Your little retinue is defeated. We heard the dwarves make light of your little attack. And the serpent people, the serpent men, they will welcome us with open arms. We have their signs. Remember? And he brandishes this coin, this large gold coin. The scout beside him gives a sort of gruff acknowledgement that, you're screwed.
That's the part that I'm actually interested in. The surface dwarf and the goblins, they can make deals all day. What is my guy doing here? Is it just like he's playing it by ear and backing up the strange dwarf? Or was he in it from the beginning, trying to read the body language between these two dwarves to see if they're allies of circumstance or if they're actually... trust each other and have each other's back and seem to know each other.
I wonder if that's a wise or just a straight perception test.
I'm going to go with straight perception since I'm not wise.
But it seems like a wise, you know. But then again, I mean, you are a dwarf, so you shouldn't have the need to have dwarf wise. give me an OB3 perception test. If you fail, that may have interesting... consequences for what you believe. Maybe entirely erroneous.
Survey says I got my 3 successes. Victory again.
All right.
I am marginal dwarf. Yay! Did exactly what I need. Well, not a die more.
Yeah. You're beginning to get successes here instead of the always a success short or 2 successes short, which has been the classic burning wheel game.
He's stealing my successes, you know.
Sorry about that. There's only so many to go around.
You get the sense that this is a sort of marriage of circumstance. This is not a long-standing kind of brotherhood. It's more based on incidental greed.
Well, that's reassuring, believe it or not. Because if it was another conspiracy, I think I would have just rolled my eyes and left them. Well, if it is a standoff, then I think an extra axe is due right now. I will step out of the shadows, casually swinging my axe. Matter of fact, those dwarves beat the goblins so badly, we're here to retrieve our own. Hey, dude, any more?
All right, so the goblins hiss and sort of turn toward you with a flashing of their knives. Or, well, the one on the ground anyway hisses only. The scout dwarf just turns about and says, Flint, give us a name, guys, with the names.
Rollins.
This needs to be a guy with a name. Okay, you said a name, so.
R-A-W-L-I-N, yeah, Rollin.
Rollin, okay. Ballin and Dvalin and Rollin. Flint, you're here. You're here already? The surface dwarf sort of turns around warily. There's clearly a bit of a moment of, oh shit, oh wait, this may be good. And that's when the...
Of course. Sorry, he says, like, we know how goblins are.
Yes. The upright one flies at the scout and plunges his knife into his shoulder, and he sort of yelps and swears and falls to the ground, and they fall over, and the surface dwarf is backing off.
Well, I think I will wade in, bury my axe in this goblin, and say the deal is over.
That sounds like a versus test.
And use an axe?
Yes. You are using your axe, so that would certainly be axe. And I guess the goblin would be using his three knives skill to make things horrible for you. Ta-da! Two successes. You've rolled more.
And I'm going to burn a fate point for sure. So we got one, two, three, four. And it's my spiffy axe. Whatever
bonus
is that?
All right, add a die then.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Keep forgetting that. I forgot that previously. You should have rolled.
Okay, so that gives me. Okay, so that's a five. That's five successes total. Huzzah!
Wow, he is so dead that it's almost funny dead.
Oh well, in that case, we're going to decapitate him and have his head roll on over to his buddy.
Okay, he's going to start spitting and swearing and desperately sort of crawling away with an intermittent outbursts of,
I can live with that.
Well,
you can hear this, of course. Yeah. You can hear.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we first heard Flint's voice, I think that would have been when we went, oh, we better go and start heading that way.
Okay.
Charge.
So, cue the sound bite from the Life of Brian when the Romans enter the little apartment. Yes.
I can see the goblin now screaming like the guy, like he just found a horse head in his bed.
Oh, it's even worse than a horse head. It's just like, that's my friend's head.
I think that's my brother or my sister.
Friend, enemy, brother, father. It's so fussy when it comes to goblins.
Come tromping in, and somebody puts an axe in the goblin. It's on the ground without even, it's got reflex.
Yes.
Just make sure it's dead.
No, the one that's screaming.
Oh, well, hopefully they haven't killed him off yet, because he is a potential source of information and should have about 20 bazillion intimidate dice against him.
Okay, so Roland is swearing and holding his spurting shoulder.
Was it Roland or the surface dwarf? I got
Roland. The surface dwarf backed away. Sort of. He's still a little in the at the side, sort of watching warily, hands at a sort of unthreatening latitude.
Now surrounded by us.
Yes.
We'll set the axe away. Sir, I think we have a prisoner that needs interrogating. And we have a visitor. You can't see my hands as I'm sitting there doing the whole Vanna White thing. Roland, sit down. Let me look at that wound.
Ah, yes.
I saw that filthy beast spit on the blade before he stabbed you.
Oh, they always do that. Why do they always do that?
It slides in better that way, lubricated.
I was thinking something more along the line of the knife is a metaphor for their tongue or something like that. But anywho, so while Fandral does what Fandral does, I will do a little first aid on Roland there. Say, sorry about the knife. Yeah, so I got kind of carried away.
Well, I should have caught him, but don't worry about it.
Oh, still, I'm here because you are my man, and I want all the scouts that we can recover safe and sound.
All right, maybe this is actually, this covers your belief there.
Yes.
Maybe you would like to apply field dressing, since that is a skill of yours.
Yes, actually I would, because, hey, what do you know? It's not particularly impressive, but then again, it's not a particularly impressive wound.
He did peg him, though. It's not a superficial little skinned knee. I'd say, you know, you want to ensure that it heals well. That would be an ob too.
Okay, well, we'll give it a shot. In the worst case scenario, whenever Slate gets back, we'll have the proper fixing done.
Yeah, he can complain about how you didn't do it.
Okay, it says, I kept him from bleeding all over the place, but it's not a good job. Sorry, I don't have any clean bandages. We'll just have to make do.
Here, take my sock.
It should fit in that hole nicely. So where has your sock been, swamp monster?
This is why you don't let the surgeon leave the party prematurely. Yeah, he's not going to die anytime soon, but it looks really bad.
We'll mother hen it as best we can. Yes. Like I said, you know, we'll get a reroll when Slate shows up, and I'll probably get berated for my field dressing skills. So that was a failed routine test?
Yes.
Yeah, at least you're not coming back with third-degree burns.
And they're on somebody else's body, so that's even a bonus.
All right. Do we want to do something Fandrally before we go back to the fire?
He'll talk up and dwarf, secure that goblin and gag him for now.
Oh, I thought you actually killed the goblin when you came in, the remaining one.
Telling us not to kill him, so.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. Okay. You were referring to the goblin and not the dwarf. Now I'm with you. Okay.
The goblin is a source of information. The surface dwarf, I get the impression he's going to be a little bit more cagey. But he does have a prince of the dwarves in front of him now. For better or worse.
Okay. They wrestle the hurt goblin onto his hurt belly and secure him. He sort of snarls and bites at them in a terrified way, but he's incapacitated.
I can give him my other sock for a gag.
And okay, this hippie dwarf.
Yeah, he's standing there waiting patiently, calmly, unthreateningly, and other appropriate adverbs.
So, who the hell are you?
He does a little sort of clearly not dwarf appropriate curtsy, like a little weird bow. And he looks at your mail and goes, Grace, my name is Torir. I'm, one of your undesirables, I suspect.
Yes, man. What the hell are you doing here?
Oh, I'm on an errand of greed, you might say.
I could believe that.
It is a believable motivation, is it not?
Yeah.
I happened upon your dwarves, and we came to an agreement of sorts. And, well, it did not turn out very well, as you can see. I presume you are looking for the rest of the scouts. Most of them should be in a storeroom some ways back. We may have left them to other goblins. But a few should have escaped as well, the lot we were with. As Rollin can attest, we managed to overpower our captors. And, some of them fled deeper into the tunnels, perhaps to rejoin your expedition.
Well,
an ambitious and worthy endeavor, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So, tell me how you could be of use to me.
Oh, I have many uses, of course. Chiefly that I like gold and silver and other clinking things. And so long as that is supplied to me, I'm very loyal. And I can, of course, take care of things like, unseemly things that you would rather not deal with yourself. That's what I'm good at. Information gathering and so forth.
So, provide me some this information to demonstrate your worth.
What would the prince like to know?
Well, I assume you know why we're here, where we're headed.
Yes. I gathered you are going to Skoriayup, or Deep, that is what you call it, yes. To reclaim it, I suppose, from the dragon people.
Yes. So, what can you tell us about the situation in Skoria?
As far as I have heard, it is occupied. The tenants are, as you have deduced, the dragon people, the humans, the exiled lords of the human lands, since the Merchant League and the commoners threw them out. You understand, they lived as bandits for quite a while. Not terribly long, as you or I would reckon it, but long enough to develop a sort of human savagery. And, the place was more or less vacant, and they're terrible warriors. So, as I understand it, they moved in and began to spread word that other ousted nobles should follow them. And so they have done for the last, I think, 10 years now. You should expect a sizable populace certainly. But Scoria is big, of course, and it was my hopes that some of the old clan homesteads would still be, shall we say, untapped?
Mm-hmm.
No offense. And he looks to all the dwarves who are looking at him like he's a vicious vulture.
Yep.
And what do you know of the dragon?
Well, I know the dragon people worship one. I haven't heard of one, and I've never seen one, certainly. I would probably say it's a bunch of nonsense.
Okay. And how are you planning to get in?
Oh, well, there was this dwarf in your company, one of your captains, I believe. He mentioned something about a stone that would open a door. But since the whole scouting went a little haywire, I tried to secure a different mode of ingress by way of these filthy creatures. But they did not follow through, bound us and tortured us instead.
Did they actually have a way in, or you think they were just using that as a way to take advantage of you?
It is possible they have their ways. It is a large hold, after all, but I would be surprised if they could get in and stay alive for very long. As I mentioned, the human lords are fierce fighters and very territorial, sort of like vicious dogs.
Yes, they are humans.
Yes. Yes. They make good wines, though, and have charming songs.
Where are you originally from?
Oh, dear little hamlet far to the east. Nothing, really, to mention. Lived on the surface all my life.
Ah, that, okay.
Well, as lovely and congenial as this is, should we perhaps return to your expedition and see what we can learn from each other and of finding a secondary exit? Entry, I mean, of course.
Is this the last unaccounted scout?
It is not. There are two more, at least. But as he said, some were separated when they broke free from their tormentors.
Flint would know if everybody's been accounted for or not.
Yeah. There are more missing. Two more missing. But the bulk of them you've found already. Yeah.
Okay.
Taurus' theory is that they may be making their own way back, right? They're not stupid dwarves. They know the tunnels.
They're independent and reliable scouts.
That is a good way of putting it.
Well, then, I think all we have left to do is decide what to do with this goblin.
Well, if I may advise you, prince and head scout, this goblin is of no use. He was of no use before he was hurt. You should simply slit his throat and be done.
That just struck me odd, but then again, I was thinking the same thing. So, Flint, well, just look at the prince for confirmation. Confirmation.
You thought he might have some information, Flint. You want to see if you can get something out of him?
Oh, I suppose it wouldn't hurt. Rip the gag out of his mouth, say something interesting, and you may live.
It's a stream of filthy dwarven half worm blah 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 and
chunk.
With the axe or
yes,
fist or oh, okay.
Obviously, he chose not to live.
Yeah.
So, murdering badly injured bound goblins. Pretty easy task. Is it even a task?
No, it's the say yes situation, where I say yes.
We dispatch the goblin.
Yes, there's no challenge at all. Toru says, well, that's a little, well, anyway, it's done.
I have a reputation to maintain.
Oh, you must be Flint. I've heard of you. I imagined you would be taller.
I imagine you'd be more handsome.
Well, that's unfortunate, but fair enough. Let's go, yes.
Hopefully they've had enough sense to rejoin the company.
Yes. The tunnels here don't lead in any one particular direction except back. So I'm sure they are well on their way. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, we should find them on the way back, on their backs or on their... Well, I certainly hope they are not killed, but, you know...
It is a dangerous place. I understand where you're going with that.
It is, and I'm sure the goblins are hiding everywhere.
So it's hope against hope that the tunnels they follow now lead back past the suburbs? No.
show us where you separated from them.
Oh, a little ways back. We took a wrong turn somewhere and ended up in a flooded corridor, and these grabby things started reaching for the goblins, and, well, we took the opportunity to break free.
Ah, yes, we've been there.
I can show you the spot, though I do not recommend we step into the water. It's most unwholesome.
Yes, I said we'd been there.
Oh, and did you locate any missing scouts?
No.
Well, in that case, I'm sure they are on their way back.
And hopefully on the way back, we can catch Slate catching up.
Yeah, if we start heading back, I'll have an aside to Flint to say, talk with Rawl and make sure this dwarf is telling us the truth.
Aye, sir.
All right. Let's hop on over to Ulfkel.
Some of us have headphones on.
Who is screaming and on fire and hurting and is pinned under a flaming dwarf?
And I wish I had Persona because I could have spit greed on this. But anyway.
I don't know. You're not attempting to acquire or keep hold of anything.
But a belief. And one of my beliefs is rescuing these two idiots.
That has nothing to do with greed, but.
Is there anything I can tag that would get me any extra dice?
I think now that he's pinned you down, this is no longer a brawl. This is just a kind of power test to hurl him away.
Okay, sure.
Get free and get away.
Yeah, so power or agility? Squirm away or
totally
push
power.
Away?
Totally power.
What about rolling with him and putting you both out so neither of you stay on fire?
Oh, we're not in that mindset anymore right now. No, sorry.
And a reminder, you can amend beliefs in the middle here. So if you want to make a different decision on how you want to handle the apprentices.
I believe I'm on fire.
So I rescued them from the clutches of the evil spirit. So, yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's right. And I'm going to be 3d6 instead of 4d6 because I'm lightly wounded.
Luckily, he's also at 3d6.
I'll let you roll first so I can then go, I can do better than that.
Are you sure?
Sure. That way, yeah, if you roll really good, I just go, frack.
Boom.
Frack.
Oh, wow. Two successes.
And I'm going to pop that some bitch. Ow. Buggers.
That's 2 versus 3. And that's the routine, sadly.
Not a good day to be on fire.
And here I go again, not stating consequences before we test.
Well, I don't break free. Do I get another superficial burn? Or
no, I think you're about as burned as you're getting, as crisp as you're getting so far, at least by Keem's or Keim's hand. You do not, in fact, get free. Keem gets up on top of you, tramples you, and heads off into the sea of flame again. You're now prone and sort of dazed. He's lost, and Floor is still burning on the floor,
legs.
And now the spirit is sort of gliding toward you.
I'm patting myself down, trying to knock out what little fires, and that's when I feel the ring, and I feel the amulet. They were in my pockets. So I'm going, okay, think. I'm an opal, so I grab the amulet, because that's the opal thing. I pull it out and go, back!
Oh, she hesitates a moment. You can see it. She almost screams, you know, why do you carry that sign? You are not one of the brewers.
Ooh, I grab the ring and pull it out. Actually, I put the ring on in my pocket, pull it out. Back!
Oh, you shouldn't have.
I shouldn't have put the ring on?
The moment you put your ring on and brandish that, she just goes berserk and she screams something to the tune of like, wild, vile worm, and attacks you with sorcerous fire in a redoubled effort.
Did the amulet give me any damn thing, any form of protection?
Not that you're aware.
It
seemed to have a social impact, but then you had to go dig out the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
I'm your friend. No, really, I'm your enemy.
I'm definitely tapping in my impulsiveness. That's for damn sure this time.
Yes. Okay. You know, I'll buy that. You'll get a fake point at the end of the...
If I survive. Yeah. So was this a will thing I have to do to survive the attack, or how to deal with sorcerous attacks?
How would you like to avoid being burned to a crisp?
How about agility, rolling all the way?
That would be speed.
How would agility help me?
If you were to, say, hurl one of the jewelries at her, that would be agility or perception.
Or a throwing skill, which I also have. I'm going to throw the amulet at her. I saw her flinch. Head says, this is bad for
her. All right. Yeah. I'll buy that. You can see her winding up to completely
immolate. Yes. Okay, fire in the hole. 1, 2, 3. I am going to pop that 6. And
remember,
what is this? What is this? Every time I re-roll a 6, I get a 2. Every freaking time.
You have 3 successes. Okay, so here's her sorcery thingy. And she has 3 successes. But you're defending, so this is a tie that should go to you. There's this beginning roar of flame that rises toward you, and then the amulet flies at her, and she flinches, and the flame goes out before it reaches you. Just before it reaches you. You can feel the heat on the soles of your feet.
Oh, I'm going to do something really stupid. I still got the hoop. I see her flinching. She's flinched. She's attention's away. I got the hoop. I'm going to put it around her.
Let me remind you that you failed your vengeful spirit. It does not appear.
I have no scare,
at least.
No, not scare. I'm hoping that, you know, she's somewhat corporeal, and therefore it's at least it'll hold her arms down or something like that. I don't know. Maybe give me a chance.
She does not look in the least fleshy. She
never
appears
mind
to
then.
Be composed of air and not fire, but she's kind of an elfin figure made out of like the northern light. In a sense, that kind of etherealness.
So I'm just half tempted just to take that ring then and just throw it at her. I have no other weapon, really, other than my hammer. I doubt that's going to do anything against her. So, yeah, I'm just going to whip that ring at her.
Yeah, I'm tempted to coach you a little here, possibly.
To run away?
Maybe. I mean, you want to save your apprentices. Maybe you should save your apprentices and not try to kill the spirit.
Okay, yeah, all right. I'll go with that. You know, she's flinching. I run over and grab Froar. But trouble is, Dimwit ran back to the fire again.
Yes.
I pull him up and say, can you run? Can you walk?
This is the guy you knocked out with an possible skull fracture.
That's right. Yeah, and third-degree burns. Slate's going to love me. So I just got to heave him on a shoulder. Is it literally a wall across the room or just in the air where she is?
It's kind of whimsical. It rises, it falls. Sometimes it's wall high. Sometimes it's knee high. And it is just completely wild.
Try to time it and run. And if I see it drop, try running through it when it drops.
That's not terribly difficult if you just time it. If you have a little bit of presence of mind, I think it's more an issue of you keeping hold of.
That'd be a power test then, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What's my power?
If you don't, you lose track of him.
It means I drop him someplace.
Yes, you drop him somewhere.
Well, it's a B4, so I'll
smack into a door jam. Whoops.
In fact, I think if you fail, you drop him in a fire, and then he's actually devoured by the flames.
Okay, I'll go with that. It's a fair cop. I mean, right now he probably doesn't have a mortal wound, but he probably has something close to it.
Yeah, I'm going to say dancing around and leaping across flames is going to be an ob 3 to keep him.
All I got is 4 dice in my power, so let's see, and I roll a 1.
Oh right, I'm sorry. You need to re-roll that because you have a light wound. So you only have 3 dice.
Oh, fudge, mother puss bucket.
Mustn't forget.
That's right. Thank you. And I still get 1 success.
Oh, okay. So you time it and you get sort of across, but then out of nowhere, this flame shoots up and you're forced to sort of leap out of the way. And then he slips from off your shoulder and he rolls into this big gout of crimson sparkling nog fire. It's just completely devoured. You can see him melting and vanishing. And this
damn you, spirit!
This great whoosh of dwarf smoke billowing out from that bit of flame.
Okay, so I'm sitting there screaming at you, I curse you, spirit! I curse you!
You can hear similar sentiment screamed from across the flames by her. And now you see
time.
Scully and Rudy, was it?
Yeah, Rudy.
They're sort of madly dancing across the flaming, dilapidated brewery, screaming for you and Keim, who's half collapsed next to a broken mash tun.
Well, I run over to Keim. By the way, I keep my eye out for my axe.
Right, it's deeper inside. You have to leave it. I'm sorry.
Oh, crap. Well, I grab Keim and I drag him. I pick him up and say, come on. He's
burning. I mean, he's really burning. So I guess.
Mash tun, right?
Yeah.
There may be a slight chance there might be something in it.
Remember the flames leapt up from all the wet surfaces?
That's right. Damn it. I'll knock him to the ground and start rolling him.
Yeah, I think you get some help from.
Oh, the other two? Yeah.
Scully, at least. Rudy is kind of just standing there, not quite believing what he's seeing.
And I tell Scully, if you see a gold cup, don't touch it!
And Scully goes, oh, damn, here she comes again! I knew I'd bite it in a brony! And hurls his axe, and it goes just flying through her, like it's nothing. And he's like, run, fools, I'll stop her! And he sort of rushes off to some kind of mad bid to grapple the spirit.
Well, I grab Keim and drag him, or half drag, you know, because like you say, he was on his knees, so he's half drag, half whatever.
Everybody's grabbing one of the legs.
Yeah. All right, we carry him. Yeah. Scully, don't be a fool! Get out of here!
You can hear something to the tune of, it's too late for me, run! And you know, the fire is just rising and roaring.
This fire,
yeah, you make it out to the wagon.
This fire can't be good for any of the supports in that room.
Luckily, it's stone.
No, fire and stone, that's not support. That could actually cause the stone to expand and crack. Totally appropriate. We get out just as the room collapses.
Why not? That's fun and dramatic. At least the entrance collapses, so you're not sure how extensive the ruination is, right?
And we finish putting out Keim.
Yeah, and he's badly burned. You think he's still alive, but he's not going to live much longer unless, I don't know, a miracle happens.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping they come down the suburbs, but anyway. None of you, it'd be the worst time ever. I'll be one die down to try to open up care-wise or field medicine-wise.
So you didn't attempt to open herbalism.
No, I did not. So we put him in the back, and that's when Rudy Sir goes, oof, Kel? Yeah. Whack, 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 knocking the flames off of my back.
Of course. And, you know, he's all sooty, and you probably look much worse.
I would love to say that, you know, as part of his wounds, there's this hand-shaped burnt patch on his face where Keim, you know, and of course, you're not quite sure if it's burn or it's Keim's skin on his face.
It's red and yucky.
And my beard's about one-third its original length, probably.
It's probably smoking.
Watch it. Let's get him back as fast as we can. Grab the cart. Right,
on the cart.
Yeah, boom, yes. The wagon. And I grab one arm and Rudy grabs the other. We turn her around and head her back. So he's laying between the two dead bodies.
Soon to be a dead body, yeah.
Hopefully not. If this calls for a speed test, I don't know what does. to get him back in time.
Fair enough. I guess Rudy will help you with a dive.
Give me four dice.
It's not too far. Call it a knob two to get back in time for Stone Bones to do something.
And, of course, I roll a three. If I pop the six, does that mean I get back even faster?
Yeah.
All right.
You wanted to do it fast, so every extra success knocks off.
No, like, no, no, a two again, a bloody freaking two.
That was a four in a row?
Yes. And it's routine, which doesn't do me any good.
Your re-entry, your return is going to probably put down, given its own little paragraph in your great weird song of spider breaking and troll dicing and so forth. Mm-hmm. Because you're sort of approaching. Yeah, I'm sure you're rushing in a mad bid. You're still smoking, and so is probably Rudy. I'm in the wagon, and you have bones in makeshift coffins. Mm-hmm. And everything is, oh, and of course, screaming for stone bones.
Stone bones, stone bones, slate anyone! Okay, medic!
So, ambling over and, oh!
See what you do for Kaim.
What have you done? And
he ran into some sort of fire demon.
I think this is where we need to cut back to us for a scene where I'm walking up to Tor. So, what do you know about vengeful spirits? You mentioned you could deal with some of the more unusual possibilities.
Oh, do you have a vengeful spirit you need to get rid of?
Possibly. We encountered one a while back.
Oh, that's humor. Well, that is interesting. I may have heard a thing or two. Is this vengeful spirit specifically vengeful against someone specific?
It didn't seem to take a liking to me.
Well, it certainly sounds unfortunate.
It was an elf.
An elf? Oh, well, I've heard of spirits, and I'm sure elves are no different. I'm sure I could find something out if you would like me to.
It might be a way that you could demonstrate your usefulness.
Hmm. So, did the spirit simply want to lay you low, or did this elf crave something from you, or is it an extortion of some kind?
Yes, he claimed there was this crown that if it was returned to him, it would release him from some curse or other.
Ah, one of those spirits, yes. I'm sure I can whip up something. There's a folk remedy in the Far East where we sprinkle grain around our bedsides in the night, right? So the spirits can't get us. But I'm sure you would like a more permanent solution. And in that case, perhaps. Well, okay. How much do you divulge? Not much at all, or okay.
I'm not going to tell him. Oh, we have this lovely
no.
Crown.
Just making sure.
It seemed fixed in one spot. It didn't follow us down the tunnel or anything.
Interesting. Well,
Flint hasn't told me about his weird dream, I don't think.
No. He's only told Bruna, and I'm not sure Bruna would be the person to sort of repeat it. Well, if you would point this place out to me, I could always make inquiries.
That's what a map is for.
Also, a slight monetary incentive would be swell and would help in the subsequent research. Sort of gives you that acquisitive look with his coal painted eyes.
Well, there is this one room plated in gold.
There is much to be gained in this expedition, and if you aid it, you will share in the rewards.
Oh, that sounds like a persuasion test. You know that, you know, if you do this, it's going to be good for you in the long run, right?
I would like to fork in that since he's an exile, an outcast, that this is a way for his family to get back in to Dwarven society.
All right, I'll give you an advantage time.
Yay!
Like I said, tap that greed. Tap that greed.
So that would be an op 4 to, you know, convince him that doing this for the good of the expedition is going to be beneficial to him in the long run. And you have your persuasion dice plus an advantage die plus anything else you can conceivably fork.
We're going for the greed. I'll throw persona and do a routine greed.
All right. So 4 extra. Yeah, I suppose this would be holding on to power. I'll buy that. And gold. It's sort of a double whammy greed.
11.
11 dice all told, yeah.
3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that's more than you need. You can see the gears turning. You can see him looking over your garb and the priceless dwarven mail and axe bearers who are grimly pacing beside you and Flint and stuff. He says, well, I suppose there is wisdom in having a prince have one's back. Yes, yes, I can see that. And I'm sure there are many monetary rewards to come.
Excellent.
Very well, then. I shall make inquiries and see if this vengeful spirit is something we can do something about.
When you say inquiries?
Investigations, inquiries. I have my ways.
So the tattoos, is this a fashion statement up on the surface? Or?
Oh, some of them mean something, and some of them are simply for decoration. It soothes the humans, I find.
Really?
Well, yes. Well, they're terribly afraid of anything that looks different.
Yeah.
So if you assume some of their customs and ways and mannerisms, I find it's a little easier to get them to open up, makes for more lubricous trade, so on.
Hmm.
Oh, and some absolutely believe they are some sort of mark of wizardry and magic, and that's never wrong. I mean, it's never a bad thing to. You don't have to say you're a wizard, but if they think you're a wizard, they tend to avoid you a little, or avoid to start trouble.
So are those permanent then? Or?
Some of them wash off. Some of them, unfortunately, are, yes, inked into the skin. I'm sure they could be effaced if I really wanted to, but not want to take a knife to my skin for no reason.
Just wondering what the price was for this fooling of the humans.
Oh, yes, well, yeah. Well, some of them are pretty, too. I'm not suffering over much. So, this scoria, it's full of gold, yes?
There was much treasure that was lost when it fell.
Excellent. And it's all pretty much still there, I assume.
What all the tales say?
Though I suppose the dragon people have spread some of the gold. That's how I found it, you understand. See, the sign to call the other exiled nobles to them were these large coins with a dwarf with a hammer. One of the famous...
Good old Gothar.
Oh, yes, that's him. Yes, anyway, it's a symbol of this scoria. Deep. As I understand it, it was a mark. It was sent out. Yes, I came across one of them and made inquiries and realized that, well, there are people living there. And since they are human people, I'm sure they are not too terribly bright. And I have not pierced the various vaults yet. And they're usually easily fooled, except these are nobles, so, yeah, like I said, warlike people, so one at best tread carefully. If one is an exile surface dwarf, like myself, of course, I'm sure you won't have any trouble roughing them up, if that should be the case. Your axe bearers seem quite competent.
Indeed they are.
Finer dwarven warriors you won't find.
Would have been dead meat if they didn't have you for a commander. Anyway, spirits. I'll think this over.
This is the point where I have to decide, do I keep my mouth shut or not?
Good point. Is this a little type conflict type that would be served by having a belief about it, or not?
But see, here's the problem in Flynn's head. Is the prince telling him enough to get rid of him, or is he actually wanting the problem solved? Because if he wants the problem solved, I can help. But if he's just trying to get rid of the strange surface dwarf, then we want him to go on the wild goose chase. So it's like, stroke the beard, think about this. I believe I will have to talk to this surface dwarf when the prince isn't around.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, the way you put it, I was thinking, I should talk to the prince about his motives before I do anything rash. But instead, you're going directly to the surface dwarf. And okay, that's interesting.
Because that's worked well for everybody else who's dealt with him.
We'll see. Because I have a certain item that I would really like returned to actually really end the curse, as opposed to getting rid of the surface dwarf. So
allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
We had that conversation, and you were not going to be returning that.
Well, until at least the situation changes drastically, right?
Well, it has changed drastically because the prince has now more or less authorized, struck a deal with this guy to resolve the situation. So now is later.
That's that's a radical interpretation of that.
Yeah.
We'll see how that flows.
I think this is interesting because this might be a betrayal of being the Princess Bride Axe Dwarf. At the same time,
betrayal,
as you're trying desperately to fulfill it.
Yes. I will have to talk probably to both of them.
And this is going against your instinct of always or never leaving a task undone.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's following your belief of doing what the prince wants you to do, or, I mean...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, how about we do this kind of metagame thing? Does the prince notice that Flint is hanging off every single word of this conversation? And maybe take mental notes along the way.
If this is something that Flint is very open about, or if it's something that you would feel Flint wouldn't want, then it would be a test.
Most certainly Flint is listening to this. And if he was 10 feet away, he's now 7.5 feet away and 5 feet away and then walking right behind them in their shadow. And not necessarily saying anything, but soaking in this conversation.
Well, is he attempting to be inconspicuous about this, or is he just doing it?
We'll say he's being inconspicuous about this. Not that he's hiding as much as he doesn't want to interrupt the conversation. He wants it to continue to flow and learn more information.
Well, in that case, it seems a simple versus test, perception versus inconspicuous. And if the prince gets more, he, yes, totally understands that Flint is thinking about something or is
inconspicuous is a skill?
Yes, it's a skill. It's remaining unnoticed in a crowd.
Well, I certainly will not be doing well on that. Well, just because I think it would be fun story-wise, we'll take a shot at it. So for unskilled, does the prince roll so I have the obstacle that I have to double, or...?
Yes, the prince has to roll first, and whatever he rolls, we double that obstacle for you. And you are rolling your will dice for this. And the prince is rolling his perception dice.
Man, I am so going to get smoked on this.
You're so screwed. There's five.
I don't have that many dice.
Well, you could always roll an awful lot of sixes.
Oh, what the hey?
Two successes and a six.
Can you spend fate on a unskilled roll?
Yeah, it's a stat test.
Got a five, so I've got three versus... It's not only obvious, I probably trip on them or something.
Bump into them.
Get off my cloak, Flint.
Or I mutter, can you say that a little louder?
What is it, Flint? Do you find some traces of the missing scout? What?
Well, I just happen to know more about your spirit troubles and would like to volunteer my help.
Oh, says Torrid, is there more to this that I should know?
Well, just a second set of eyes. I might have a different perspective on it. But it's not necessarily something that we want to discuss here with everyone.
Oh, I understand.
He does? Amazing. So I kind of got the old whole puppy dog eye kind of look at the prince, like, yeah, can I go ahead and talk about this? And I'm expecting, you know, Baylor's stare, but we'll see how it works out.
You're getting the stare because you're, what, you are holding something back from me?
No. Just, you may remember that I was involved in this, and I actually had some conversation with Unguil. I think that was his name. So since we are getting close on time here, I think we need to rendezvous, hopefully with Slate, with some erstwhile scouts, and maybe just get everybody back in the company at the same time as a shock. Mm-hmm.
So, Slate, on your way back to meet the prince's retinue along with Ty, you run into a pair of scouts who look worse for wear. They're bloody and wet and a bit banged up. They are part of the missing scout troop, and you collect them and realize that the prince's retinue must have missed them. Took a wrong turn somewhere. And they're pretty badly hurt, so you and Ty decide to take them back to camp. And come back to camp, and the camp is all a roar because Ulfkell returned with the wild stories about a fire demon. And everyone's like going, oh, he's just telling tales. And then the other half are going, but I saw him dies with a troll. And, you know, he's the spider breaker and so forth.
There's also the fact that he does have second or third degree burns. And Kine, which Stonebone's looking at, definitely has third degree burns over most of his body.
And Rudy is just mumbling to himself, didn't happen. And Scully is missing. Scully's not there.
I'm just off to one side, just you know, watching Stonebones, and I'm just crying. Mm-hmm. I lost Froar. He died. And Scully, oh, poor Scully.
Oh. And that's when, of course, the prince's company returns.
As soon as I see Flint, I just get up and run to him, and I grab him and say, Scully, he's dead. And I just put my head against
him. He's completely covered in soot. He looks half-burned dead.
That's okay. I'm covered in swamp water and gore, so we make a fine pair.
He died saving me. We fought some fire demon spirit thing, some elfish thing. Damn it all. Oh, he's crying.
The surfacer dwarf looks at the prince and goes, is this usually how it goes with your expedition?
Well, with those Kells sometimes.
Vengeful spirits, fire demons.
And then of course, there slides down the ground. He's crying. He puts his hands on his head. And that's when Flint sees the ring.
Oh, you're still on you, right.
I never took it off.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's wearing a Gotterdam sigil ring. It looks very old.
Terrible, terrible thing about Scully. I mean, veteran of the Goblin Wars.
Oh, but he was so brave.
We lost Scully, but Ulfkell made it back.
We did our best, yeah, my liege. But this demon, it was in the Opal Brewery. And she's probably still there. I don't know if she's tied to this cursed goblin or what. But the entrance is closed. But, you know, we take it back. We would have to clean her out, get rid of her at some time. And she's. And they looked at the ring. She said some things about your family.
Oh, really?
How... they were foul betrayers.
Into the pit with those bloodthirsty sons of whores.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, grandfather never mentioned anything about evil burning spirits.
Emphasis on the burning.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull the ring off, and it's like, okay, Slates, could you get this thing off my finger? I think it's burnt on right now.
Oh, boy. I can try. Come over here.
A bit of spit and a bit of butter. What was George saying?
Was this a dwarven spirit?
Elf. It was an elf, but smelt of Nog. I'm not sure. Some foul corruption.
Huh. Another elf spirit.
That sounded like, huh, another elf spirit. I wonder what this is about.
No, it definitely appears that elves are restless dead.
So far.
Yeah, so
except
far.
For that delightful fellow on the mountainside.
Yeah, it was, well, 66% of the elves that I've met have been dead already.
The one you met looked like the dead one, right?
Yes, it was even more weirder.
Which you still haven't told anybody about.
No, I haven't. which is why I need to have a talk.
You're not going to get a talk right now because, you know, I sort of grab your arm and sort of, once the ring's off, I slam the ring into your hand and I go, Slate, come. And I grab, go to, you know, Stonebones. He's trying to save Kim. Kim is burned. Oh, God, he's so burned. And then I drag, ignoring my own wounds, of course, and I'm dragging, and I drag Flint over to the wagon and I point to the box of bones. That's your kin.
It's just slack jawed. It's like, what have you been doing?
There are, of course, two bodies, and the other, they're both sort of bones and bits of tattered finery and stuff. The Gotterdam ancestor has a old rusty dagger, and the other remains has a an axe in the box.
Rusty axe, yeah.
Yes. The Gotterdam remains looks like they had their head split open with an axe.
Hopefully the axe still isn't in it.
No. I don't know if you do that.
We pried it loose and put it in the other box, yes.
And that was in the Opal Brewery?
Aye, there's some demon there that entrances you and causes you to fight amongst yourselves. Poor Cabe. He was totally Froar was when he got totally besotted, wasn't he? Yeah, poor Froar got totally besotted.
I don't remember the names of my apprentices.
No, I try to remember which one grabbed the chalice. It was Froar who grabbed the chalice. Yeah. Poor Froar, he went mad. I tried to destroy the chalice, but it's still there. It's cast the thing. It's probably not even. I barely dented it with me hammer.
Yeah. Well, give me the Gotterdam remains. I will bury those properly.
I wave my hand. We'll have to properly bury him. He's a brewer. We'll do the proper service, but we can't do the proper.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Ulfkel, grab a hold of yourself and get a beer. It'll steady your nerves.
I've already drank a keg already.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're remarkably stable. Or maybe that's why you're weepy right now.
I always take a keg with me wherever I go. That keg got emptied.
I didn't know that was part fuel for the cart.
You know, for when we get thirsty. But yeah, he sort of slumped down. He's just sort of head in hands, you know, and you realize that he's got burns all over his body.
I'm sure Stone Bones is busy working on the serious case, but that does remind Flint. Slate, can you look at Roland over here? He took a nasty knife wound in the shoulder, and I didn't do a very good job on that.
Oh, yes, yeah, look to the wounded. I'm okay.
Okay, I got to make a decision between these two. Who looks to be the most like he's going to keel over at any moment?
You can make a triage roll.
Well, Roland has a bad stab wound, but it stopped bleeding. Someone sort of half-patched it.
Stuffed a sock.
In a clumsy way. Ulfkel looks like he's burned quite extensively. Not super badly, but, you know, it's over his eye and his face, his hands, arms. So, yeah, it's really just who would you like to prioritize?
I'm going to prioritize the one who's burned, because I know for a fact burns are worse than stabs.
All right.
Especially if they're over most of the body.
Yeah, well, there's a lovely handprint burn on his face. You're not quite sure if it's a burn or if it's skin from someone else.
Yuck.
I'm not going there.
Oh, so you can go through the stab wound then.
Yeah, I'll probably go through the stab wound. I'll deal with that later.
Well, if you want to attempt to treat it in a way that will soothe them and ensure that he has a speedy recovery, then that's an OB2 chirurgia. Chirurgery skill.
Call it surgery because that's what it is, but yeah.
So it's an obtuse. I don't get the. I have nothing I can add to this myself as the patient, I guess.
And you cannot swear at me. No, I have soothing platitudes to add.
I'm sorry, that will not help your own treatment of him.
I can't talk to him while I'm treating him?
You know, I might allow for you to help his health test just for the fun of it with soothing platitudes, but not your own treatment of him.
Your words do not mend torn flesh.
Right. So I need to roll...
5 dice. And you got a 2. So you do, in fact.
Would spending a fate point increase the successes, which would decrease the time to heal?
No, but it might decrease the time for treatment. But, I mean, you're not in any time pressure situation.
And also, I have no fate points, so...
Oh, right.
Well, never mind.
Okay, so quickly, John, health.
Yeah.
What's your health?
B6.
So, just for the fun of it, I'm going to let... It's probably way... Not in the rules, but I think it's funny. So add a die from.
So I take a die away from my wounds, but I add a die back for the platitudes.
I don't think you reduce health ever for recovery tests.
Because that would be a vicious cycle.
Yes. And add a die from.
So a total of 7 dice.
Slate, yes.
Well, I got 3. Popping one of those do me any good?
Well, you need to, so the pain fades pretty quickly, and you can erase your light wound.
Now, does it turn to a superficial, or...?
No, you erase it.
Okay, so I'm just going to be... will I be horribly scarred, though?
That's you will have scars. You still have a little bit of, like, burn stuff that will heal, but it's superficial stuff, and it's not painful, especially not after treatment.
Good sell.
And that was a routine or a difficult or high routine?
Yeah.
Never mind.
But Slate could record a routine test for soothing platitudes.
So I'm all bandaged up, and, you know, I got my hands bandaged up too. I bet, you know, I was like, how can I work like this?
You can still yell at your apprentices like normal.
Yeah, you just have to have someone grab the sample and you just sip from their hands. Did Stone Bones save our poor apprentice?
I think he's somewhere in between. You're not sure if he's going to make it yet. He requires more extensive treatment.
Yeah, which means the night shall pass with the Ufkel sitting next to Kaim, just sitting there looking morose.
It's not awake, it's a watch.
Well, yeah, he is watching him, but he's going to still be morose.
All right, anywho. So should we do Arta and then wrap it up?
Yep.
So let's start from the bottom. Well, since Ari, you weren't here from the beginning of the session, it was tough to hit your beliefs, but I'll give you fate for working toward leading the scouts back to camp and so forth. And looking for others. Actually, I guess you accomplished that, so take a persona instead. No fate, persona.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
It's okay.
No fate for you. And I think for the rest of you, you either completely accomplished, rescue the remaining scouts.
Or partially accomplished.
So for Fandral, I think you totally accomplished rescuing the Axe Bearer from the Tentacle Horror. So that's a persona. And you helped to rescue at least the remaining captured scouts. So that's a fate. And for Flint, I've not figured out how to open the secret door to Scoria Deep.
Not even.
You did, however, find out what happened to the missing scouts. So that's a persona. And for Ulfkel, well, it was really just the bottom belief. And I think since the fate of your remaining apprentices in the balance still, and you lost one, I'll give you a fate for working toward rescuing your apprentices from the evil spirit. Now, I don't think any instincts got you in trouble, but I think the impulsiveness kind of trait for Ulfkel certainly worked into the weird. Ha-ha, I have an opal bracelet, amulet, but I have as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, a fate for that. Mm-hmm. And I think you all amused at least me with your in-character antics today, so I'm giving you all a humor fate. I guess I'll give Egon's Flint a Moldbreaker persona for not being sure what to do about the whole crown and spirit thing. See? And failing miserably at keeping it to himself.
There's a reward for being conflicted.
Yes. You were indecisive to have a persona flip.
Well, maybe if it's generous, but generally it's when you go against a belief, right?
I'm just having fun making fun.
Yeah. Well, it was a valid point, too. So, workhorse, do you feel like anyone was working behind the scenes, helping, having that specific type of gear to make a scene work, or that's, always helping, always working behind the scenes to make things work?
I could nominate Flint.
Well, yeah. Did the whole scouting and axe thing, and actually was moderately successful at that.
And creating more plot hooks for the GM.
Sure. I don't know if I can vote for myself, but why not?
All right. So a persona workhorse for Flint, then.
Man, I am going to so burn persona like a mad dog next time.
Please do. Please do. Okay, so any MVP? Anyone who drove the story to its conclusion, you think? Couldn't have done it without him. Should we give that to Scully?
Poor Scully. Oh, poor Scully, burning the death. Oh.
I think he gets embodiment.
chapters move the table for the story. Yeah, okay. It's great speeches, desperate decisions, gruesome revenge.
So if we give a fate point or a deed to Scully, can he burn that to save his a happy ass?
Yeah, if you give him an embodiment persona, he can spend it for will to live. So he can crawl back all burned.
Sure.
Yes.
And make Ulfkel feel even more better about himself.
Because I was more given clue.
A century and a half, and I'm not yet dead.
But he's Scully the one-legged.
Or maybe the white after this.
All right. No defeating dangerous spirits and no deeds.
Surviving is its own reward.
Which means I still have zero persona. Wow. I need probably make some sort of belief adjustment.
Do you know what? I should totally give you an embodiment persona for your spirit activities and your bawling and everything.
And also trying to save his apprentices. He could have easily ran from the get-go.
Sure.
I'll take it.
One.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we have the means, but do we have the will? Well, yeah, not. I mean that will. I mean the other will.
I didn't mean it that way. I was just clearing my throat.
Well, your timing was excellent.
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.